This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Western Michigan University launched a new center to address the issues of poverty and income inequality last year. The University Community Empowerment Center has presented a series of classes and seminars this winter and has a lecture series planned for March. Teresa Bingman is Interim Executive Director of Western Michigan University's Community Empowerment Center. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Gordon, and good morning.
Let's lay out the issue of poverty and income inequality. Nationwide, state of Michigan, Kalamazoo, what are we looking at?
Very grim statistics that have improved slightly over the years, but not enough in our opinion. For instance, according to the 2010 census report, there are 1.6 million Michigan residents living in poverty, and that is 16% of the population. Out of those, which is very troubling, is the number of 539,000 children. When we start talking about Kalamazoo County and city, the numbers don't look good there either. In fact, in 2010, and these are the numbers reported between 1999 and the increase to 2010.
By the U.S. Census?
By the U.S. Census, exactly. Poverty increased 38.8%. That's for the city of Kalamazoo. And in the county, there was an estimated 20.5% of residents living in poverty.
So, the Empowerment Center here at Western Michigan University, what are some of the things you're doing? What are you hoping that you can bring to this discussion of poverty and income inequality?
We believe that the university plays a very critical role in addressing this issue. We also believe that the university has the power, if you will, to join forces with the community to make sure that all hands are on deck and trying to address this issue. So the premise behind the creation of the University Community Empowerment Center is to bring the university and the community together in a very targeted fashion in terms of working with organizations, with low-income individuals to help address the issue of poverty. The university plays a special role in that there are a number of academic individuals, academians, researching this issue. That research could lead to the development of best practice models that could be very effective in the communities. So we want to be a part of that solution in bridging the gap between those individuals who are researching the issue of poverty and poverty reduction, those individuals who are actually in poverty, and organizations who are serving these families.
When we look at Kalamazoo in particular, we do know there are people in this community that have a great deal of money, and we know that many of them are pretty generous, evidence of the Kalamazoo Promise.
Absolutely.
And yet, we have persistent poverty here. Does that tell us something about how difficult this problem is to get at?
It really does. There is wealth in this community, as there is wealth in many communities with high poverty rates. Those individuals are giving, you know, as you stated, the Kalamazoo Promise. They are giving of their wealth to address this problem. But it takes more than just individuals who can fund projects. The solution is really bringing everyone together. The government has a role, too, in this, as well as individuals and organizations.
You issued a statement after President Obama's State of the Union address saying that you thought that he laid out some good proposals to address poverty and income inequality. Specifically, what did you like from the president?
Well, what I like from the president is that he addressed the problem head on, in my opinion. He talked about a number of approaches to addressing the issue of poverty, which included creating job apprenticeships, reducing student loan debt, renewing unemployment insurance, raising minimum wage. It takes all of these types of policies in addition to the work that is being done in communities to assist people in poverty. We know that, you know, the main way to get out of poverty is to be able to earn a decent living. And so he laid out some proposed policies that I think would be very effective in addressing poverty.
Among the things which I guess would be more long-term were an investment in pre-kindergarten education, Of course, something like raising the minimum wage, I suppose, would be seen as more of a short-term solution. Is it a combination of two things? Is it a two-pronged approach, short-term and longer-term?
Yes. There has to be ongoing action. So in terms of the short-term gains, those are the gains that, in my opinion, would inform the progress that is being made toward those long-term goals. So absolutely, I agree. It's a two-pronged approach.
You also said that this had to be a collaborative effort, which included the public and the private sector. And some people may hear private sector and think, well, you're talking about business owners, some of whom are doing quite well. Why should those business owners be concerned about the issue of, say, income inequality?
Well, the business owners are not only should not only be concerned, they're part of the solution. You know, these are the individuals who are creating the jobs, the corporations who are creating the jobs for individuals. So they're very much a part of that solution, and they're aware of that. In fact, Western Michigan University became more deeply involved in the poverty reduction discussion beginning in 2008 when there was a state summit held in Detroit. There were about 5,000 participants, and among those participants were business owners. And they stood up and very firmly stated that they know that they are part of the solution and they want to come together to address the issue as well.
Is it in the long term good for their business? I mean, putting, you know, ethics and morality aside for just a moment here, is it in the long term good for their business if income inequality is not as great as it is right now?
I certainly believe so. The businesses want productive workers. They want educated workers, highly skilled workers. And in addressing the issues of poverty, we know that poverty and its correlates consist of a number of different factors. And among them would be, you know, the education factor. That's a topic that we've been discussing here this winter during the seminars that we're hosting. Also, gaining skills to obtain those jobs, to earn the income that they need to raise a family. We've been hearing some very gripping stories from individuals in the community who are in poverty, and they are not the faces that you would expect to see in poverty. And I'm saying this to go back to the role of businesses. We heard from a couple of individuals who have college degrees, one among them an engineer, and she was just faced with a set of circumstances that led to not having a job with adequate income. So what she did to get out of poverty is that she recreated herself, if you will. She reinvented herself. She's not working as an engineer. She has another profession where she's able to make an income where she's above the poverty level now. So when we talk about businesses and the roles that they play, it would be great if the engineer had access to a job that would be suitable for her in this area. But obviously, she wasn't able to find that job.
Do you remember what she's doing?
I do. She's a caterer.
Okay. Did she have to go back for any sort of retraining, or was she already someone who knew how to do that?
I believe she did not state whether she went back for retraining, but being highly educated, she probably made sure that she was very aware of the business practices and, you know, what the best approach was to offering the services and the goods that she provides. But my sense was this young lady is just very much a can-do person who drew from her inner strength. She also said that she drew from her faith and people around her, and she has a support group that has helped her to advance to this level.
I mentioned earlier the Kalamazoo Promise.
Yes.
This is obviously a tremendous opportunity for people in this area, provided they can meet the requirements that they've lived in the district long enough and they can graduate and get accepted somewhere. Is that the sort of program that you see that takes down some of the hurdles that people might have to getting out of poverty?
Yes. It's very innovative. It's something that's obviously working because people throughout the nation are replicating it. So that's definitely a plus for Kalamazoo. When I worked in state government, in the governor's office. We were very aware of the Kalamazoo Promise, and we did all that we could to replicate it in terms of creating similar programs that would tear down some of those barriers and provide more access to individuals. But even with those programs in place, there are still challenges to information, getting access to the information that they need to become more aware of why programs like the Kalamazoo Promise and other excellent programs are good for them and could help them advance to a level to where they could have a better standard of living.
And also the challenge of making sure that kids who go through school are ready to go to college after those 12 years.
That's right. Right. It does start to change that whole mindset in terms of individuals knowing that they're going to college. I grew up in a family of seven children in a rural town in Oklahoma, Perry, Oklahoma. And my parents did not have a college education. We did not have much money at all. We were poor. We didn't know it, but we were poor. My father worked. My mother was a stay-at-home mother, but she and he both, my parents were both very determined to make sure that all of their children had access to quality education in the hometown, as well as higher education. And as a result, we all are college graduates. And I know now, being a parent, that that's quite a feat to get seven children through college, but they knew very well that they had to provide that type of access for their children. And one thing that they did is that they established the mindset within the home that we're going to college. So I knew even in elementary school that I was going to college. And programs like the Kalamazoo Promise, they can help to inspire those types of dreams. And even better than that, they can help make those dreams come true.
And the Kalamazoo Promise does work, of course, in the Kalamazoo School District. Other districts are picking up on the idea, and they're doing it in different ways. But I guess I'm also wondering, how much do you address poverty and income inequality at the local level? How much can it be done there, and how much do you need broad national changes if it's really going to happen?
I think you need both. It always has to start at home, because so often even Lansing seems far away from Kalamazoo, Michigan, and certainly Washington, D.C. does. But it starts at home, and it starts with people coming together who have those connections to Lansing, to Washington, to those policymakers who could not only inform, but those who could make sure that good policies are passed. That's why I'm very much an advocate for individuals staying in contact with their elected officials and raising issues that are important to them, because those are the individuals who represent them, and they could help bridge that gap between the community and state government and the federal government and keep an eye on those policies.
You mentioned at the beginning some of the rather grim statistics for poverty in the nation, Michigan, and Kalamazoo. Are there things that we still don't know? Are there still things that maybe through this center you're hoping to find out, additional research, things that we don't have a good grasp on yet when it comes to the issue of poverty?
Oh, yes. We're all learning. Even if we've lived through situations where we've been in poverty and we have found ways to remove barriers and we found ways to get access to opportunities that help us do better in life, we still learn every day. And the best way we learn is from one another. That's why I believe that these series of discussions that we're having here at Western Michigan University will really go a long way in terms of the university and the community coming together to figure out how we together can start doing a better job of addressing the issue of poverty.
On the subject of the poverty rate in Kalamazoo, there was an interesting bit in the New York Times a couple years ago showing that Kalamazoo had actually ranked fifth among U.S. cities in terms of poverty rates based on the census data. And Julie Mack of the Kalamazoo Gazette sort of broke this down. It was somewhat interesting that it found that there was some perhaps some caveats here. That first of all, that the cities ranked had to have a population of 65,000 or more. So that meant that cities like Benton Harbor, Battle Creek, Saginaw, Muskegon, Jackson were not included. There was a bit of a margin of error. As I said, you know, the census data shows the city has 26,201 people living in poverty, give or take 3,598. And also that Kalamazoo is a medium-sized city with a relatively large university. Many of those college students are counted as people in poverty. And I guess what I'm leading up to with that question is we don't want to minimize the circumstances of someone who truly is in poverty and trying to deal with it. At the same time, does something like this put that in context and perhaps let us know who we really need to target and try to help get out of poverty?
Those are really great points to raise. In fact, as an introduction to the very first class among our series of classes, we talked about statistics and how statistics may vary. And as I stated earlier, I'm new to this world of academics, and researchers speak in statistics and studies and things of that nature. And it's all very relevant, but people need to realize that they have to meet the statistics where they are and take the time to sort through them to determine what that really means. For instance, you stated that in a college town, college students are listed among those who are in poverty. And if you talk with college students, they would let you know, yeah, I am in poverty. These are young adults who are becoming independent. But we also know that some of those college students have access to families that help to support them. So it does all have to be put in perspective in terms of who should be focused on. I think that that gets sorted out when there is a collaborative effort. I think that the targeted population that has the greatest need, those are the individuals who will receive most of the attention. But I think that college students, too, not only can receive the information, they could learn from those strategies and benefit from those programs that could help them to get a good start after they finish college.
And there can certainly be some variance amongst college students as well in terms of their condition. Some student may be listed as being in poverty, but in reality has a pretty stable family who's able to help him or her out financially. And another student may not have that, may truly be dealing with poverty while still trying to put themselves through college. I mean, there can be some real differences even amongst statistically similar bodies, right?
That is right. And the students are aware of that. You know, the students know their friends who have families who help to support, and they know which students don't have that same support level. One program here on campus that I'm especially proud of is the program that supports foster care youth who've aged out of the system. And when you start talking about those individuals who really don't have that support, you know, that's a population that needed the support that other students have. These are individuals who did not have a family to go home to during Christmas break or holiday break. These are individuals who might not have anyone to call on, an uncle to help them fix a car or something like that. And so that's just a perfect example of a program that provides the type of support that individuals need to help find their way to a better life. So they're in a great place. They're here at the university getting a fine education, and they have that support to make sure that they can achieve their goals.
What else might we look for from the University Community Empowerment Center over, say, the next couple of months in terms of addressing poverty?
Well, here pretty soon, you could look forward to hearing more about this university community strategic plan that we'll start working on. And that will take place, the initial discussion will take place after the series of classes end and after the Burian Lecture series is final. And we will come together with the community, and that might consist of individuals who are attending these classes, in addition to organizations, governmental entities, and others who want to come together and start working toward a collaborative plan to address poverty and its correlates.
And it'll be a strategic plan meant to address poverty in this region in particular?
That is certainly our goal.
Teresa Bingman, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Teresa Bingman is the Interim Executive Director of Western Michigan University's Community Empowerment Center. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.